Welcome to Growing Indoors, a new limited podcast series from Cannabis Business Times, brought to you with the support of FOES. New light harvesting technology from FOES takes the stress out of greenhouse growing by monitoring natural light so that you don't have to. Light harvesters can sense changes in the natural light of your greenhouse and adjust the output of the LEDs so that they permit the precise amount of supplemental light that you need. No shortages, no wasted overages, and can all be monitored on your phone with their app. Light harvesting is available on both the FOES 06i, a 1-to-1 HPS replacement grow light, and their supplemental greenhouse grow light Pleiades. Check out more of FOES' game-changing technology and request a free custom lighting plan at FOES.com. That's FOHSE.com. My name is Eric Sandy, and I'm the digital editor for the Cannabis Group at GIE Media. We're very pleased to continue our 10-episode project, where we're focusing our interviews on indoor cannabis cultivation from a broad spectrum of angles. This is episode 5. My guest is Jigar Patel, co-founder and co-CEO at NorCal Cannabis Company. Jigar was drawn to the cannabis industry by his love for the plant and its limitless potential more than 20 years ago, and he has since become a key player in California's explosive legal market. He has seen NorCal Cannabis Company from inception to its current state, having raised over $100 million of capital, increased revenue from $2 million to over $70 million in 3 years, and managed a strategic pivot from a high-growth revenue company to one emphasizing profit margin while still maintaining sustainable growth. Jigar's passion for the industry shows not just in the numbers, but also through his work in combating the negative stigma around the industry and fighting for social justice. While he also continues to own and operate his own winery, Jigar Wines, his goal is to leverage his position in California's market to bring cannabis, its culture, and NorCal's innovative operational practices to the world. We talked about what it takes to fine-tune the complex, controlled environment of indoor ag, particularly from a business management and leadership standpoint. So please enjoy my conversation with Jigar Patel.
Well, Jigar, thanks so much for joining us on the show this week. Very excited to dive into your work and continue the conversations we've been having on indoor cannabis cultivation. Of course, this series is sponsored by FOES, and so we're going to want to get into some lighting-related questions on the back end of this conversation. But maybe just to open up the conversation at the top here, could you sort of set the stage by just describing your facility and some of its characteristics that are worth spotlighting?
Sure, great. And thanks for having me, Eric. You know, our facility is made up of our Santa Rosa campus is made up of four separate facilities. And, you know, this has been a work in progress since basically 2015 when we had found the building and understood legalization was actually happening here in California. And so the first two buildings, which we kind of call our V2 version of warehouse cannabis growing or indoor cultivation here, you know, were designed in late 2015 into 2016. You know, and those are basically buildings, each building's about 10,000 square feet of canopy, built with, you know, at that time, what was cutting edge indoor cultivation technology, you know, so about basic HPS lighting, rolling benches, environmental controls, and, you know, disparate operating systems, ACs, dehums, foggers, et cetera. You know, as those two buildings came online, which actually took, you know, almost 2 years, given the heavy regulatory lift here in California, you know, the two buildings next to us became available. And so we decided to design and build those really kind of in late 2018, about 6 months after we had been operating our first two buildings. And those buildings have a little more technology in them, things that we had learned in 2 years from almost design to build of our last facilities. So we were able to kind of step up what we were using in terms of lighting technology, some of our irrigation technology, and then really understand kind of from a data and sensory standpoint, what we needed to really kind of move ahead in terms of how we grow, which is through crop steering. But the four total facilities are about 40,000 square feet. You know, we put out about 2,200 pounds a month out of those facilities. of high quality indoor cannabis.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm just while we're there, I got a few more specific questions to get into, of course, but could you define crop steering? And I mentioned that only because it's come up a lot lately, and I don't think it's that complicated of a phrase, but just to maybe nail down the definition before we really get going.
No, I think in layman's terms, the easiest way to describe plants steering to people is we're really manipulating kind of the environment to give the plant the best possible rate of success. And they're doing this by encouraging plants to grow a certain way. And really, it's basically getting the most out of your plant.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that includes all sorts of variables, to say the least. One of the questions, maybe to drill down on that, you know, one of the questions I was going to ask was just what are some of the things you're monitoring each day as you sort of go walk throughout the facility? Now, that's a very broad question. Some of the things we've been talking about in this interview series have been environmental controls, as you've mentioned, or even personnel issues among the staff. But maybe to tighten this question up and to maybe even keep crop steering in mind, on a day-to-day basis, what are some of the high-level cultivation data metrics that you're looking for or trying to keep tabs on a regular basis?
Yeah, no, that is a great question. I think, you know, the things that are really important to us really are just the overall environment. So temperature, humidity, VPD, EC of the substrate, and then the substrate temperature, right? So what we're trying to do, again, like I said, is make sure we're providing the best environment for the plant to flourish and really express its best self. You know, and so I think by monitoring those things, and then we're able to really kind of understand what's happening, you know, both at the environmental level, but also within the plant.
Mm-hmm. Along the way, naturally, challenges arise, and you know, these environments just present their own suite of hurdles to jump on a pretty regular basis, especially over the course of years. I'm curious if you have any maybe examples in the recent history of the company of challenges that you've had to overcome in an indoor environment, or maybe common challenges that almost every grower needs to overcome. And what maybe some lessons might be from those challenges?
Yeah, no, look, there's a ton of challenges with indoor growing. I think, you know, going back to the environmentals, again, it's making sure you can get the environment right. And, you know, to do that, when you look at kind of the history of indoor cannabis farming, we hadn't really always had access to the best technology from an HVAC perspective. So, you know, when people started growing indoors at scale, you had a lot of disparate systems working, you know, where the AC was fighting the dehumidifiers, which was causing these crazy spikes up and down and in your humidity. And so I think one of the challenges that we've seen here is we just always haven't had, you know, the ability to have the best equipment to do what we want to do. And I think, you know, for us, one of the biggest problems we've had is as we've really pushed the envelope of crop steering is dehumidification and fine tuning, you know, our ability to actually pull water out of the air. You know, I think when we designed these buildings, I don't think anybody had any indication we were going to be able to push kind of the amount of output that we do. And we would ever find it necessary to pull that amount of water out of the air. And I think, you know, how we overcame that, obviously, in using our old systems, which is by adding dehumidification, which then presented its own other problems. So it's a bunch of tinkering back and forth. On anything new that we're designing, though, now that we understand that challenge, we can go to our engineers and say, hey, look, here's what we need, and this is what we need to do it with. And they can design and build systems that actually aren't fighting each other. I think that's something that we haven't had as cultivators, not just NorCal, but cultivators in general, in the early years of indoor cultivation.
Yeah, it's, you know, just speaking real quickly as a new homeowner in the winter here, of course, we're speaking in early February, I'm amazed at even just a small building like my house at the humidity and how quickly you need to sort of wrestle with that. And of course, we're talking about indoor cannabis cultivation on a much larger scale. The humidity issue is a fascinating one. I don't know if you maybe want to elaborate on how, as a team, the importance of communicating and working through problems like that together becomes, because of course, this isn't just a one-person operation. Could you maybe speak to team communication on that kind of level?
Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, the way that we, I mean, kind of our philosophy behind, you know, teamwork, especially in cultivation, is we are essentially a bunch of old school cultivators that finally were able to get our hands on some technology. And so, you know, what we've always done is try to, you know, let the environment and let the plants do the work, but also make sure we're watching and we're there to make sure any of the automation we do isn't failing us, right? So, you know, one of the things our team does to really begin their day is everybody, you know, first of all, we'll log into the programs that we use to monitor temperature, humidity, VPD, et cetera. But then what they're also doing is they're also walking the rooms and understanding what's happening, what the feel is, making sure that data they're seeing on their computer is actually happening in the space. And we are doing a lot of monitoring all day long. I know a lot of growers like to not be in their rooms. We actually tend to send people into rooms just to make sure things are actually what they say they are. I mean, secondly, if there's ever an issue, I mean, we're constantly communicating with each other about that issue, you know, and the general managers of each facility, you know, are then walking with the actual cultivators, checking on each room, understanding what's happening. And then because we have so many different operations, we're able to come back as a group and a unit and talk about things we're seeing in particular with particular strains or particular environments, problems we're having, being able to diagnose any issues and solve together. You know, and that group think really allows us to flourish and continue to kind of improve on everything we do.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, it's certainly a blend of, you know, human intuition, human communication, as well as the assistance of technology there. And for speaking of that, I did want to touch on lighting, sort of go in a different direction here. Before getting into some specifics, I suppose, what are some of the more important characteristics of a good lighting system in a general sense?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, early on, the people just weren't sophisticated enough about lighting, and I don't think we had all the data and information we knew about the cannabis plant. As we learn more and more and studies come out about what's actually happening and how you can crop steer to really optimize yield and quality, I think what we're realizing as an industry is we can push really, you know, the light intensity of what's going on. The problem that we've always had with pushing light intensity is that inevitably with the old technology, it would raise the temperature, you know, and going back to environmental controls, it made it quite difficult to really, you know, get above what's called 1,000 or 1,100 PPFD without burning your plants. You know, as we kind of look to the future and really what's been happening over, let's call it the last 3 years, is high intensity LED lights are able to really have a higher output and allow us to get to, you know, with the FOES, we get up to 1500 PPFD, you know, and really push the limits of what we can do. And once we understand what we can do with that lighting, we can then build the rest of our environments to make the plants thrive. So really for us, you know, it all starts with lighting. Understanding what that light's capable of doing, and then building the environment around it.
And certainly the equipment is obviously a major part of that. But then, you know, it's interesting in having a lot of conversations like these, you find that the company or the brand or the people behind that equipment end up becoming partners in many ways. So I'm just curious, what led you and your team to ultimately work with FOES?
You know, I had heard about FOES from a few growers that, you know, I have a lot of respect for that, you know, or I would say on a smaller scale, but craft growers that are really into technology. And, you know, we had tried LEDs as far back as 2015 in some of our older facilities, and we just weren't getting the yield out of them. The quality was pretty good, but, you know, what we recognize is we just weren't getting the penetration of the light. And I knew at some point somebody was going to put out a high-intensity LED. And, you know, we heard just great reviews about FOES, and it was a pretty plug-and-play deal for us. So we decided to call the guys over at FOES and had extensive conversations with them. You know, given the way that, you know, our operations kind of are built on efficiency, it's a big deal for us to just change out lighting. So we had a lot of back and forth with them. They understood how we were growing what we were growing today, how efficient we were under HPS, you know, and I think that that back and forth led us to, I think, a mutual respect between the two organizations and them understanding that, like, you know, we know what to do with that type of intensity, but we wanted to make sure there were no drawbacks from that specific light. And, you know, I think it's been a pretty successful relationship since.
Yeah. You know, I was going to ask about some of the lighting needs and different production phases. And, you know, we can talk about this sort of in a business sense or even in a FOS specific sense. But whether you're talking about veg or flower or even some earlier phases, I guess my question would be, how might LED technology or FOS's equipment in particular help you and your team to navigate the different needs from one room to the next?
Yeah, I mean, so look, high level for that, I think, you know, when you switch from HPS or metal halides to, you know, LED, I think one of the benefits that we saw, you know, over the last year or so was the ability in veg to get, you know, emission uniformity, meaning like you had a nice spread of that PPF over the plants, and we were able to actually get healthier plants in veg, and they were a little more gentle, and the spectrum was definitely more towards the veg cycle, right? And so we were getting probably an extra 5 to 7 days in veg for our plants, so we became more efficient there. And I think, you know, then taking that and continuing with our, you know, our quest to kind of push the levels of PPFD, you know, being able to then take a light like FOS and go above what we were getting with HPS, which is 900 to call it, you know, 1100 PPFD, to then take plants that were uniform under these veg crops and put them into flowering and be able to actually, you know, adjust that all the way to 1500 and really optimize the output of the plant was something that we'd never thought we'd see. And it was really eye-opening when you started seeing, you know, the difference there. And I think from a business standpoint, you know, obviously yield is a very important metric to what we do, but, you know, we have to make sure in indoor farming that quality is there. And it took us a little while. You know, we've been doing this, our FOS experiment, for almost a year now. And I think it took us about 3 runs to kind of wrap our head around some of the differences we had to make in whether it be feedings or VPD or temperatures. And I think once we got it, we realized that, like, we were onto something and we could continue to push kind of the envelope of what we were able to do.
Yeah, I'm curious if maybe there's a strain or a particular strain that you might want to highlight since you've been using those lighting systems, and maybe if there's a certain characteristic of that strain that might have been influenced a bit by LEDs.
You know, I don't think that. Look, our philosophy is that, you know, most any strain can be worked with under LED or HPS. I think for us, what we wanted to make sure of was quite the opposite, that we could actually do this with all of our strains. So, you know, we were able to do this with sativas and indicas and hybrids. You know, we were able to get color out of the purples, all the things that people had told us you couldn't do, you know, under LED, we were able to actually pull off over the last year. So, you know, I think for us, it goes back to crop steering and environment. And once you set the light as your benchmark and build around it, I think, you know, that's really kind of our key for success.
Sure. Well, of course, we're talking at the sort of the start of the new year in some ways, I guess, so it's early February at least. And looking ahead, I was going to ask about lighting R&D plans. And of course, a lot of this is probably very specific and maybe not worth getting into because it's stuff you and your team are working on. But in a general sense, are there anything on the lighting side that you and your team have been looking into or trying to experiment with a bit?
I mean, you know, we've been running the LED experiments over the last 12 months, and that really was our big plan for 2021. Mm-hmm. I think 2022 for NorCal is really implementation of what we've learned. And, you know, I think if you've been in the industry long enough, you've seen, you know, the changes in lighting and the philosophies of lighting change over the last 20, 30 years. And I think what you're onto right now and what we spent the last 12 months really understanding is, can plants handle this intensity of light? And I think the unequivocal answer is yes. And I think, you know, for us, we have enough data and we have enough, understanding that we're ready to implement this across kind of our platform.
Excellent. Well, yeah, and sort of in that same implementation sense, maybe we can back away from lighting for a second. Any other goals or maybe even strategies that you and your team have in mind for the year ahead in the indoor environment?
You know, it's a tough year. Anybody paying attention to cannabis and California cannabis in particular realizes, especially on the indoor market, that you really have to be producing quality product to make things work. And, you know, you can be yielding, you know, five times as much as anyone, but if the quality isn't there, you're going to get stuck with a bunch of material that doesn't move. So, you know, our focus is here is not only yield, but also making sure the quality stands for what NorCal has always been known for.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, every year in cannabis is an interesting beast of its own way, and 2022 certainly is no exception. So it's going to be an interesting storyline. But Jigar, I really appreciate the time here, just getting a chance to maybe learn a bit about your company and certainly on the lighting side with how you and Foz have been working together. This has been super helpful and really appreciate you joining the show this week.
Well, thanks for having me and appreciate your time as well.
And that's a wrap on another episode of Growing Indoors. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jigar Patel at NorCal Cannabis Company out in California. I know I did. I'm very excited to continue this series. We're at the halfway mark. That was episode 5, by the way. We're going to be rolling this series out again every Thursday morning over the next 5 weeks. So very excited to keep the conversation going. I thought this was a really nice, not counterpoint per se, but addition or complement to some of the more operational and production-related interviews we've had so far. It's nice to sort of zoom out and talk a bit more about the business itself and more of a taking a more strategic standpoint to what we've been talking about in the series so far. So anyway, we've got 5 more episodes. We'll check in next Thursday over the next 5 weeks. Please stay tuned for more Growing Indoors. And as always, thank you to Foz for helping us along this journey. See ya.